A few months ago, journalist Jason Kebler had some friends over to his house. And in the middle of conversation, he went to look something up on the internet, on a search engine.
I searched it on Kagi, which is not Google. And they saw my screen and they're like, what the hell is that? Like, what are you doing? Because they had never seen the site before, essentially.
What is Kagi?
Kagi is a Google competitor. It's an alternative search engine, and it costs $10 a month to use. And I've been using it for 3 months. And I have essentially forgotten that I use it because it just works so well. Like, I don't even think about it.
In my opinion, Jason is one of the best tech journalists working today. He's a co-founder of the independent tech journalism site 404 Media. And his experience trying to get 404's articles picked up on Google is part of his frustration with the search engine.
They are not really on Google News, which at previous jobs was a huge driver of traffic for us. And we started noticing that our articles were being scraped by AI and they were being republished on these really like very spammy websites, like AI versions of our articles with just like tiny changes. And we were noticing that many of these websites were getting indexed by Google News and were ranking above us on Google. And so we just started writing about how this was happening and sort of going down this rabbit hole and realizing that Google is not surfacing results that I wanted to see just as a user.
In the story that you wrote about this, there's this sentence that stuck out to me. You say, I'll probably never switch back to Google unless Kagi becomes significantly worse, or Google reverses years of annoying interface and search decisions that have prioritized ads, sponsored results, spammy affiliate content, and AI-generated result. Do you think it's fair to say that you think Google sucks now?
I personally think that Google sucks now. I don't like using it. And I think a lot of other people feel that way because we've been writing a lot of articles about how Google results are worse or feel like they're getting worse. It feels to me like a frog getting boiled situation where I just used Google without thinking about it for many, many, many years. And then I looked up one day and I was like, I'm not finding any websites that I want to see.
If you've had a creeping sense that Google search is getting worse, you're not alone. Today on the show, we're going to explain why. I'm Lizzie O'Leary, and you're listening to What Next TBD, a show about technology, power, and how the future will be determined. Stick around. I'm going to be upfront. For the last year or so, I've had this kind of inchoate sensation that Google search is getting worse, that my searches were returning more ads or shopping links, but not the actual information that I wanted. But of course, search is so individual. I didn't know if it was just me. Jason says that's what makes this such a thorny issue.
Despite the fact that I think that Google sucks now, I think it's like a really hard thing to talk about because everyone's Google results are very different. And that's by design because Google knows so much about you. It is targeting you with ads in a specific way and it's tracking around the internet and through all of the Google products in a specific way. But I do feel like people have a creeping sense that the results that they're getting are worse. And I think that this is not entirely Google's fault. I think that this is a problem that the entire internet is dealing with and a problem that every social platform is also dealing with, which is the rise of AI-generated content is legitimately a hard thing to combat because it has made it really easy for people to just create huge amounts of content that is artificially generated and published on a WordPress blog or published on a website or published on Twitter or Facebook or whatever. And Google is going to index that content in some way. And then it needs to figure out how to rank it in some way.
This phenomenon isn't just vibes. It's backed by research. earlier this year, a group of German researchers released a year-long study titled, Is Google Getting Worse? Their conclusion was mostly, yeah.
They analyzed 7,392 different search terms across Google, Bing, and DuckDuckGo over the course of a year. And what they found is, quote, higher ranked pages are on average more optimized, more monetized with affiliate marketing, and they show signs of lower text quality. We find that only a small portion of product reviews on the web uses affiliate marketing, but the majority of all search results do.
So this is like just like spammy stuff that wants you to buy things?
It is, but a lot of it is coming from what people would probably consider to be high quality websites.
Consider this example from the site housefresh.com, which is an independent product review site. It does actual product testing, which adds validity to its reviews. But Google doesn't seem to care about that, as HouseFresh outlined in a recent article called, appropriately, How Google is Killing Independent Sites Like Ours.
If you do something like search, like best air purifier, you will see that all of the top results are from sites like Forbes or Real Simple or People or Rolling Stone. Like Rolling Stone is recommending air purifiers, which is nominally, you know, a music site. And I think that they do fantastic journalism. But because making money in journalism is very difficult and there's only a few ways to do it, many sites have started adding a lot of affiliate links. And what these are just links that go to like Amazon or places that you can buy anything online. And every time someone buys something through one of those links, they get, you know, a few pennies or sometimes more than that. And so a lot of sites have started just like spinning up teams that produce a bunch of content about this sort of thing. And the main argument of this HouseFresh article is that a lot of these sites are not actually testing the products that they are recommending. But because these sites have been on the internet for so long, they have a lot of authority with Google. And so they are ranking really high when you search for it, even if they're not trying the air purifier, for example.
You're getting at this kind of chicken and egg phenomenon, though. Things show up high on Google or any big ad revenue-driven search engine because there's a whole industry of people who know how to make things end up high. They use search engine optimization to make things, you know, pop up in those results. And it feels like a little circle that we're going around in here.
I've spent 15 years professionally writing articles for the internet. And at every place that I've ever worked, SEO has been important. And some of this stuff like aligns very well with good journalism. It's like used names of people in the article and like link to your sources and things like this. But then there's also a lot of other things that humans may not like, but Google's algorithm does like, which is, you know, like subtitles. If you are looking for a recipe, to get ranked high on Google, you often need the recipe to have a lot of keywords and to have like be of a certain length. And so this is why when you go to a lot of recipe sites, you will often read like a person's life story before they actually tell you the recipe. And I am not, I don't write recipes. I don't cook. This is like a very controversial topic in the recipe world because some people like that sort of thing, but other people just want to see the recipe. And the reason that all of these sites have, you know, really long stories before they get into the recipe is because they're doing search engine optimization and they're trying to rank higher on Google.
Is it just Google or, you know, do Bing and DuckDuckGo or whatever also fall into this trap?
Bing and DuckDuckGo do both fall into this trap. I think that we focus on Google because we use Google. Everyone uses Google. And it's like Bing has not really taken much of the market. Like if you actually look at the numbers, it's still a couple percentage points of all searches go through Bing. So the vast majority of SEO is targeted at Google's algorithms and Google's web indexing and ranking system.
we reached out to Google for comment, and a spokesperson told us that the German study looked narrowly at product review content, and it doesn't reflect the overall quality and helpfulness of search for the billions of queries we see every day. She added that, quote, numerous third parties have found Google to be of significantly higher quality than other search engines, and our advanced spam-fighting systems keep 99% of searches spam-free. When we identify areas for improvement, we take that work seriously. When we come back on the show, how AI makes all of this more complicated. Because, of course it does. Well, let's talk about this AI bloat issue. 404, your organization, reported that Google News is boosting some of this weird kind of AI-generated content in its results. Tell me about what you guys found.
Yeah, so I have a Google alert for 404 Media. So anytime anyone mentions 404 Media, I get an email and a link to it. And soon after we started publishing articles, I kept getting Google alerts from weird sites that I had never heard of that were mentioning or in some cases linking to us. And so we did this like really difficult article about how child sexual abuse material was being included in this really popular AI model that underpins like tons of the AI tools that are used today. And this is something that we actually spent like over a year on and talked to a bunch of different researchers about how to even report this because it's so difficult. And one day after we published it, there was an article called "They Delete a Database to Train AI Generative Images to Contain Child Sexual Abuse Material," which is not even remotely English, on a site called Nation World News, which when I clicked on it, they had just stolen our article, clearly run it through some sort of AI tool, and it had a million ads on it. And it was ranking higher than us on Google, and it was indexed by Google News. And our article that we spent all of this time and resources doing was not on Google News at all.
What does that tell you about what Google is prioritizing, whether consciously or not?
Well, I think it tells us that the people who are spinning up these AI spam sites know a lot and care a lot about SEO and what Google is looking for. And we are journalists who are just trying to write articles. We're humans writing articles for other humans. And we are not optimizing every aspect of our article so that an algorithm will pick it up. But the people who are doing this with AI are optimizing better than us. And Google is rewarding them for that. I think that Google is fighting a very difficult battle here because, I mean, the business model of these AI sites is get listed, get ranked on Google, trick people into clicking, the people leave, but they're shown a bunch of ads before they leave and they collect pennies and hope that, that pays for what they're doing.
In response to our questions, the Google spokesperson said, quote, "We take the quality of our results extremely seriously and have clear policies against content created for the primary purpose of ranking well on news, and we remove sites that violate it." A lot of these AI sites are based outside the US, where it's a lot cheaper to spin up a new website and publish lots and lots and lots of stuff using AI models. Something that's basically impossible for humans. Jason's site is run by humans, four of them.
And we publish two or three articles a day, and we're very productive journalists. Like, we're incredibly productive journalists, but we're competing against AI-generated sites that are publishing articles like every 2 to 3 minutes, 24 hours a day.
Oh my God.
And one person is running that, probably. And they're just doing it all through AI because they're not actually researching and writing the articles. They're just generating them or ripping them off or doing a mix of both. And so Google does prioritize, you know, sites that publish often. And if you're publishing a few hundred articles a day that are AI generated, that might rank higher than a human run site that is only publishing one or two or three articles a day.
listening to you say all of this, it seems so clear that there's such a strong argument against using Google for search. And yet Google owns this wide swath of the market share for search. Most people are still using it as their default search engine. I don't know if there is a way to untangle that. We already have so many Google products baked into our lives, which makes me wonder, is there some breaking point in which consumers would revolt, or are we trapped?
I think that we're trapped. Despite the fact that I'm using Coggy, it's like Coggy is actually a search engine that aggregates results from a bunch of other search engines and then ranks them. So it's like reliant on Google as well. Wow. And so it's hard to escape even when you're trying to escape. I've tried to escape a bunch of other Google products before because I've reported on Google for a long time and I've looked for alternatives for a long time. I switched from Google Maps to Apple Maps a few years ago, and I was biking around New York City using Apple Maps, and it tried to put me on the BQE, which is a highway.
Oh yeah, that's not great.
And I was like, cool, I'm switching back to Google because Apple Maps tried to kill me. I stopped using Chrome for a while and I was using other browsers. And then I would run into a site that would only work with Chrome that I needed to use. And rather than like run this complicated existence where I was switching back and forth between browsers, I just switched back to Chrome. I can't really imagine leaving Gmail or Google Docs. It's like my entire digital life is sort of intertwined with this company. And I think that's the case for a lot of people.
I mean, I'm staring at a Google Doc of prep, you know, notes for this interview that was sent to my Gmail. I'm reading it on Chrome. How did we get so dependent on one company?
It was similarly a frog getting boiled situation where the products work so well together. It's like it's a vertically integrated company where, you know, if you use Gmail, it's like, well, I already have Gmail. I might as well download Chrome. Chrome has, you know, Google built into it. Like, it's just easier for people to do. At the same time, there is this gravitational pull that Google has that is not fully organic. It's like Google pays Apple billions of dollars to make Google the default search engine on iPhones, for example. And like a lot of the other sort of tech monopolies that we've seen, a lot of it is sort of like default stuff that happens on devices that you buy.
Which the Justice Department has some thoughts about.
The Justice Department has some thoughts about, and there are various antitrust cases ongoing against many tech giants at the moment, and it sort of remains to be seen what will happen. I'm skeptical that we'll see any sort of like real breaking apart of these companies, but I also don't know what that looks like at this point. Like, I think that it's pretty difficult to even break them up because they're so intertwined. Like, all of the products are so intertwined at this point.
Google is facing two big lawsuits from the federal government. One over its search engine, which will continue in May, and another over its ad practices, which goes to trial in September. So let's go back to search, because you keep talking about the frog being slowly boiled in water. And the thing I can't stop thinking about is really this fundamental business model thing. If your business is based on advertising, and Google's is, the people and companies are going to do all sorts of things to end up at or near the top of search. You're going to have AI-driven chum that wants a slice of ad revenue. And so it feels like, I don't know, there's a pollution of pure search right from the jump, right? This was never an empirically satisfying experiment where you would absolutely just get the best search results.
Yeah, I mean, SEO has existed forever since Google existed. And there's been a couple really good articles in The Verge that have blamed SEO for essentially ruining the internet. It was never a pure experience. The reason that I left Google and that I've been using Coggy is simply because it's not even that much of a moral stance, really. It's that I tried this other thing And I was like, oh, wow, I'm actually finding websites that are interesting and that are relevant to my search. Every time I tried to leave Google, the thing that I tried was worse. And in this case, Coggy, which specifically kind of downranks the sites you're describing, it like analyzes how many ads and how much of a site's content is ads, and it downranks them. It like punishes tactics that are traditional search engine optimization tactics. And I just realized after using it for 3 months, I looked up and I was like, oh, I haven't really like been mad about my search results for a long time. I'm just like finding the stuff that I want to find. And there's not a bunch of sponsored results at the top. And there's not an AI that's trying to answer my question when I really just want to find a link.
So here we are at the, you know, tail end of this conversation talking about how crappy all this stuff feels and is. Is there any way to make a change?
For many years, all the companies that I worked for were incredibly reliant on Google and incredibly reliant on social platforms to reach audiences. And as sort of like the entire internet has become a big algorithm, all of our feeds are algorithmic, it's become a lot harder to reach people through these platforms. And I think that when you go back to things like direct email to people who have signed up for the email, that is like a human-to-human interaction. Person-to-person interaction and group texts and things like that, I think, have already started to replace a lot of the social networks that we used to use all the time, or that we still use all the time, but are increasingly polluted. And I think that the solution is more of a like human-to-human, hey, check this out situation versus scrolling through a feed that is polluted with tons and tons of AI content.
Jason, thank you for your reporting and for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Jason Kebler is a co-founder of 404 Media. He's also the co-host of the 404 Media podcast, which you should check out. All right, that is it for our show today. What Next TBD is produced by Evan Campbell, Anna Phillips, and Patrick Ford. Our show is edited by Paige Osborne. Alicia Montgomery is Vice President of Audio for Slate, and TBD is part of the larger What Next family. And if you like what we are doing here, the best way to keep us up high in your mental search engine is to become a Slate Plus member. Just head on over to slate.com/whatnextplus to sign up. All right, we will be back on Sunday with another episode. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. Thanks for listening.